I appreciate very much the opportunity this morning to be able to speak. At the close of my remarks this morning, we'll be extending the invitation of Jesus Christ. Should you be in our audience this morning and not a child of God, you want to come to Christ this morning and put on the new man. Have the old man washed away, saying that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to change my life. I want to make the great confession before men. I want to go down into the waters of baptism and have my sins washed away. Or maybe you're here this morning and you realize that you've taken that step in the past, but in your life there might be a problem. And you want to make your life right, come back to God. We'll be extending that invitation in just a little while. Today is what the world celebrates as Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. I want to talk to the men this morning. And men, I want you to do something. I want you to sit up in your seats. And I want you to be proud. I'm going to talk this morning about your positive characteristics. I'm not going to say anything bad about you men in the audience this morning. If you want to, you can sit right up here on the front row and listen and just sit there and be proud. I've been thinking for some time about the men in this congregation. We have visitors with us this morning, and you can take this lesson and apply it to your home congregation. I want you to think about this morning the men who worship where you worship. And this is what I want to look at this morning. And you ladies in the audience, I'm going to give you a little task at the end of the lesson. So listen up. But as I begin the lesson, I want you to think back in your life of what man influenced you spiritually. Or men. Who is it that has really helped make you what you are today as a Christian? There's probably some man out there, whether it's your father or your brother or your husband or your child, there's somebody out there that has influenced you. Mine's my grandfather, Jeremy Appleton's great-grandfather. I would not probably be a Christian today if it wasn't for him. My grandfather had a third grade education. Lived in Wetzel County, West Virginia, his entire life. Never drove a car. Never had a driver's license. But my grandfather was a foreman in the Hope Gas Company there in the county. But there's something other than that that just stands out in my mind as I think about the men that have influenced me through the years. This man with a third grade education helped start three congregations of God's people. In Pine Grove, West Virginia, in Reeder, West Virginia, and Weston, West Virginia. He influences me greatly, even today. You know, I look in my life, the men that have influenced me, and I also look at the scriptures, and I look at great men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah and Moses and Nehemiah and Paul and all these great men. But But many times we also see their faults. They weren't perfect. But they were godly men. One of the first things I saw as I began to look at the men in this congregation, I saw men with infirmities. You know, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 where Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We have men in this congregation that have infirmities. Brian Connor, a young man with back problems, serious back problems. We have Bob Visa that I think Bob's had about every surgery in the book, haven't you, Bob? Pretty close. There's Steve Blickenstaff that this past year placed membership here. Some of these men have serious infirmities, but the thing that encourages me is the fact that they have not let these infirmities keep them away from God. These men are strong members of the body of Christ here, despite the physical problems that they have. And these aren't the only ones. There's others in the audience that maybe I haven't mentioned that have physical problems. But God bless you in the fact that you've not let these infirmities stand between you and your God. Number two. As I looked through the men of the congregation, I saw men that are single. Due to consequences in their lives, whether it be through divorce or whether it be through death, or maybe it's by their own choice, just simply to be single. Jeremy read that passage in 1 Corinthians 7 talking about being unmarried. You're single. You don't have that spouse, but yet you're still serving your God. God bless you, men. Number three, as I looked at the men in the congregation, I saw men that are married. I saw many men that are married. I saw one man that's been married 50 years. And there's others that have gone over that plateau also in their lives. I see men that are faithful to their spouses. I see men, as in Ephesians chapter 5, that love their wives. I saw many men that love their wives. Married men that are faithful to God. What an encouragement it is. Number four, I saw men that are leaders. And I'm not talking right now just about elders and deacons and preachers. I'm talking about the men of this congregation that take the lead in many projects and many things and make things happen. Just as Nehemiah in rebuilding the walls around the city of Jerusalem. Faithful men that are leading in so many different areas, doing the work that God wants them to do. Number five, I saw men that are spiritual and spiritual leaders. Look at how many we have in this congregation. We're truly blessed. Men that believe in the Great Commission, as we read in Matthew chapter 28. And verses 19 through 20. where it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world." The men that we have in this congregation that believe in teaching and baptizing and continuing to teach, those that are knowledgeable in God's Word. Point number 6. I see men that are older men that are great role models. Some of our older men are gone. Chuck's gone. Cecil's gone. Carl's gone. Ted's gone. There are others. But these men were great role models to us. But you know, we got some that are still here. Jerry will tell me as he walks into the building, he says, "Bill, I'm still vertical. I'm still standing at 92. We still have Jerry and we still have Mark. And we still have many that have the gray hair. We need to use them. We need to listen to them, to their counsel. We need to realize that they've gone through many, many trials and tribulations in life. Point number 7. We have men who are young fathers. We have many men in this congregation that are young fathers. And you know, as I began to look at this, I began to realize one thing. I began to realize that you young fathers have it so much easier than what I had when I raised my children 40 years ago. They're listening. These young dads are listening right now. Their eyes are about this big around, trying to figure out, where's he going with this? You just stop and think about one simple thing of changing a diaper. The young dads today go to the store, they buy a package, they bring it home, and they apply it to the child. Okay? How did we do it? We bought cloth diapers, okay? And I never did catch on to how those were folded. Okay, Nikita would have to pre-fold these diapers for me. Okay, this is just the beginning of the process. She would pre-fold these diapers, and then I would go and try to put the diaper on the child, and I would take the pins, put them in each side of the diaper, and put the diaper on the child. There's one part of the process I didn't catch on to until I was talking to Nikita the other day, something I should have been doing. But you know, when you go to put that diaper on, you're supposed to take your hand down between the child and the diaper so that you don't puncture the child. You know, I never caught that. That's the reason you see my three kids, they sort of walk with a limp, you know. But this is just part of the process. And then do you remember the plastic pants? Remember the plastic pants that you put on after you put on the diaper? And then she was telling me that sometimes she doubled up the diaper. I can't imagine doubling up the diaper. I had enough trouble putting one on, let alone trying to double it up. And then there was the diaper pail. It was also part of the process, and I'm glad they had lids for those diaper pails. The diaper pails, and then you'd go and have to launder them. You had to recycle. Back 40 years ago, you was recycling diapers, and then you'd go hang them on the clothesline. This was the process. Not only that, I begin to think about the swings. You know, we would sit there and push the child, you know, in the little swings. And then they invented the cranks. Remember, we really thought we were something when they invented the cranks on these swings. But, you know, every 15 minutes you woke the baby up by having to re-crank it. And now I put Kennedy's together the other day, a few months ago, and It's got a vibrator on it, and it's got music on it, and it's got different levels of swinging motion and all these things. And then I look at the little pouches some of these dads have. You know, they put the babies down these little pouches, you know, and if they don't like that, they throw them into the backpack on the back. And seriously. Right now, seriously. I want to say, and every man that is not a young father in this church wants to say to you that are young fathers, we admire you. We admire you for your faith in God. We admire you for loving your wives. And we admire you for bringing your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God bless you. Number 8. I got emotional even at home going through this lesson. So many times men that are encouragers. We have many here. Remember this man? That's Ted Brewer. On the back of this t-shirt it says, encourage each other daily while it is still today. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. For those of you that are visiting, Ted was one of our members here. He's gone. He's not with us anymore. He passed away a few years ago. But Ted was an encourager. Ted was one that had a smile on his face and ready to shake your hand and ready to talk to you whether he knew you or not. He knew you. Ted was an encourager. But you know, Ted isn't the only encourager we have in our congregation. We still have more. We have a man, as you walk in the door many times, this man is not a very big guy, but he'll give you a hug. And my wife says, when this man gives you a hug, she says, you know you've been hugged. Encouragement. There's so many men here that encourage us in so many different ways. Thank you and God bless you. Number 9. As I looked through the directory and I continued to look at the men, I saw men who had baggage. Men that have put off the old man, as we read in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Men who had put off the old man and buried the old man of the world and put on the new man. He had his sins washed away. But I see men that have done that, but through life and all of the things that they had going on prior to becoming a Christian, are still fighting the battles. Whether it might be alcoholism or smoking or language or whatever it might be, I see men in this congregation that are still fighting the battles and are still with us and standing strong. God bless you. God bless you for the efforts that you put forth. Number 10. I see men who are growing spiritually. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 it says, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's fun to watch. Especially our young men come in and sit in class and all of a sudden they get it. It's fun to watch the lights go on. It's fun to watch their openness and their honesty. It's fun to watch as they make changes in life. They change from the old man to the new man and the changes that have to take place. I remember years ago, John Appleton. John was only in the church maybe 7 or 8 years before his death. But I was thrilled to watch that man as he grew in the faith. A man that was out in the world, but as he grew, you could see almost daily this man changing his life, getting rid of those things that were in his life prior to becoming a Christian. And today I see in the church, I see men that are doing the same thing, that are growing spiritually. You can see them growing, you can see them developing. And how wonderful that is to see of the men of our congregation. Point number 11. Young men. I see young men. I see young men with good heart. I see Jake over there. I see Hudson. I see Sam. I see Che. And just so many others. There's even Peter Prezoon and Aaron. I don't see Aaron this morning. But I see young men that are remembering their Creator in the days of their youth. But I see young men with good hearts trying to do what God wants them to do. I want to tell you about Che's heart. Che was doing very, very poorly this year in school. And Grandpa began to tutor him, and we got his grades to the point where they were A's and B's. And his mother called at our house one day, and she was just as happy as can be. She got on the internet and saw his grades as they just come up, and she was happy, and she wanted to talk to Che, and she asked Che, she said, "Che, what would you like as a reward?" And I just would assume somebody like Che, a young guy like that, would want a new baseball bat. Baseball bats now are $200, $300, $400, $500. I would figure that he'd want something like that. But you know what he wanted? He wanted to take his baby sister to church. Now that's the kind of heart that our young people are developing. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, young people. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember now thy Creator. Remembering now, while you're young, so that as you grow older, you won't have regrets in your life. Remember your God now and continue to remember your God. God bless you for being here. You're certainly an encouragement. Number 12. We have men who are using their past mistakes to help others. Willing to share some of the baggage that they had in their life prior to becoming a Christian, but realizing there's people out there that are going through the same issues. And it's just wonderful to sit there in class and listen to John Craig as he expounds upon some of the things that he did in his life prior to becoming a Christian and how he's willing to share that with those that are in that class and need to hear, you're not alone. I'm fighting many of the same battles. God bless John and many others that are so open with your past life. And you know that can't be an easy thing. Who wants to continue talking about the bad things that you've done in your life? But yet when you realize that it can benefit others, are free and open to open your mouth and to expound this to other people. Point number 13. We have men in this congregation that are willing to serve others. As we read in Galatians chapter 5, and verse 13. It says, "For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." We have men in this congregation that are willing to do that. We have men in this congregation that are not selfish. Their whole life is not about me, and are willing to sacrifice for other individuals. This is how and what I see in the men in this congregation. Number 14. I see men that are humble. And because of time, I'm not going to read these passages, but those taking notes might mark down James chapter 4 and verse 6. But we have men in this congregation that are in the background. They don't want to be up there and take credit. They don't want to be in the limelight, but they want to do. Point number 15. We have men that are sensitive. Steve's not here today. I'm going to talk about him. Steve is our crier. Very sensitive. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with shedding tears. But I want to make another point. You don't have to shed tears to be sensitive. I was talking to Louise a while back, and she said that Steve's always been that way. He's always been a crier. But we have men in this congregation that are sensitive. Very sensitive. Number 16. Now I'm going to close this out. I've got 20, so... And I could have gone on. I mean, I had to stop somewhere. I kept looking at the men and I just kept seeing positive characteristics. 16, we have men in our congregation that will surprise you. In using their talents for God, they surprise us. They'll come out of nowhere to encourage. Some of these men even get into nursing once in a while. And I won't expound any more on that. I'll leave that alone. But we have other men here that bake cakes for special occasions. Our 25th wedding anniversary, we had a man in this congregation bake a cake for us. And you'd probably never guess who that man was. That man was Jerry Spencer. He baked us a cake. And there's many other things that men in this congregation do to acknowledge their brothers and sisters and to cheer their brothers and sisters. Number 17. We have men in this congregation that will call wrong, wrong, and right, right. They're not afraid to do that. We have men in this congregation that will shoot very straight when it comes to God's Word. Out of love, they will do this with no spite whatsoever. Number 18. We have men who use their talents in the service of the Lord. Whether it be teaching or building or repairing something or leading singing, whatever it might be, we have men that are not afraid to use the talents that God has given them in the service of the Lord. Number 19, we have new men that have placed membership here over the past year. 9 of them. Okay? 9 new men this past year. Joe Morrison, John Buis, Jim Roberts, Justin Renfro, Sam Manning, Jason Ellis, Steve Blickenstaff, John Wilcox, Ethan Manners. We got 9 new men to help us serve in this area. And we appreciate so much you men that have come and placed membership here saying, I want to work with the church in Lafayette at Creasy Lane. I want to work in the church with you. Point number 20. We have men with big and gentle hearts. Men that show love, men that show care, men that show compassion. That's just 20 points, and I could have gone on. The point is, we have a gold mine right here. In Lafayette, Indiana, at Creasy Lane, we have a gold mine when it comes to men that are serving God. We have a gold mine of godly men serving God in this place. And I want you to feel good about that. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're serving God. I'm glad that you're finding something in the work here to do. I'm glad that you're getting involved in the work of the church here. I'm glad you're my brother. Now, don't lose focus, guys. Continue with what we're doing. I realize that in this working together, we're not perfect. But we're trying to put our best foot forward in serving God. We need to be thankful for the abilities that God has given us. And strive to give glory to God is what it's all about. Now, what do we do with this lesson? I would like each one of us to take some time and to meditate upon the spiritual men in our lives. Who is it that has touched you? Is it your father? Maybe your father doesn't live here. Maybe you need to get on the phone this afternoon and talk to Dad. You ladies, encourage the men that are here. Who is it that has helped you be the woman that you need to be? You men, who is it that has brought you to Christ? Who is it that is influencing and has influenced you in the past for Christ? This Father's Day, I'm mindful of the many men that we have serving God here. And God bless each one of you. We want to close with singing the invitation. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son as we read in Mark 16:16? Are you willing to repent as we read in Luke 13 and verse 3? Are you ready to change your life? Are you willing to make that great confession as in Matthew 10 and verse 32? Are you ready to go down into the waters of baptism and have all the sins washed away as we read in Acts 22 and verse 16? Do you want to become a child of God? Do you want to become a member of the church here? Or maybe in your life there's a problem standing between you and God. Or maybe there's a problem that you have in this life and you want the brethren here to pray with you about it. Won't you come as we stand and sing?